Welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show on this Friday night. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, getting you set and ready for the NFL Final Four, the NFC Championship, and the AFC, the Packers, the Seahawks, the Colts, and the Patriots. But we're going to step aside and now direct our attention on some MLB, the Astros, really getting after it in a five-player deal. So we have invited back to the program our YSR producer who tracks and covers the Astros very, very closely, and that is Andy Pondillo. Good evening, Andy. It's nice to have you with us.
It's always exciting when a big deal goes down for the Astros. That's not very often in recent years, so the fans are very pumped about this.
Well, it's so funny because we wanted to have you on the show. In fact, last week with the Hall of Fame class, I want to get your perspective on where that ranks all time. But first and foremost, at the forefront of our mind is the Astros. How significant of a five-player deal is this?
Well, what's significant is the message that it now sends to the team, to the fans, just to the Astros in the MLB, what they're doing right now, and they're showing that they're ready to win right now, not next year, not 2 years from now. Sure, they'll be better during that time, but they're ready to try and be better than 500 right now. Evan Gattis adds a power bat to the Astros lineup, a guy that's proven it can hit home runs at the major league level. Hasn't quite proven that he can get on base at a high clip, but he's also only at 2 years experience. The numbers he's put up in those 2 years have been excellent in terms of power, 22 home runs in 108 games last year. If that translates to a full season, you could see him hitting 30, also in a hitter's park. You surround him with power hitters already in George Springer, Chris Carter. Hope John Singleton turns it around. This proves to be one of the most powerful lineups in the American League the Astros possess. The question is, can they get on base enough to make it count?
You know, it's interesting you bring up George Springer. I thought we'd talked about so much last year and in the season, just the power that they have at the plate. Was that the biggest point of emphasis going into the 2015 season that they've still, I mean, offense is hard to find, that they're still trying to track that?
I feel like they've tried to identify what their strengths are. There's different ways to win in baseball. The problem I think some teams get into is they try to win a certain way, and sometimes your team doesn't dictate that. Right now, the Astros, they dictate it. They're a power-hitting team. They bashed, I believe it was third in the American League in home runs last year, a statistic most people would never know because they had trouble scoring runs. So you could try to get guys to steal bases. You could try to get some table setters, and I think that they did that with Jed Lowry. He created a different type of hitter in their lineup to add some diversity, a switch hitter he can put in the middle of the order. He can bat him in the front of the order. So he offered that. At the same time, you got to know the identity of your lineup. And I think the identity right now for the Astros is, let's just get a bunch of mashers up there. There's hardly any teams hitting home runs. You get into a low-scoring game that provides instant offense. You get to a slugfest that provides instant offense. They're going to strike out a bunch. There's going to be flaws. And they'll probably be in the bottom third when it comes to batting average in the league. At the same time, though, this type of lineup can work mainly because of the depth. You're going to have these sluggers get in the slumps. George Springer will get into a slump. John Singleton, a young player, going to get in a slump. But when you have four different guys in your lineup that can hit 30 home runs, you imagine that they're not all going to be ice cold at the same time. So you add depth to the lineup. Evan Gattis could bat fifth. He could bat sixth. He could have John Singleton down the 7-8 hole. There should be power all the way through this order. I think the Astros are going to be very exciting to watch. And, you know, there's other guys down at the minor league level that could offer some power. Colin Moran, a Domingo Santana, they could come up. So there's more on the way. They got a proven guy that can hit home runs in Evan Gattis. They gave up a good package for him. But I think it's exciting for the Astros as they add depth to the lineup, show that they can be a premier hitting team right now.
Andy, you're exactly right. Depth is always a priority. Andy Pondillo with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us in this conversation. Join us at Twitter, at eRadioSports. And you can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. So, okay, say general manager, the Astros general manager, Jeff Luhnow, he's sitting in studio with us right now. And if I was to ask him, what is the identity of your ball club? What would he say?
Right now, I'd say the identity is power through the batting order for sure. But I think it's got to be depth. I think the biggest thing for the Astros has to be filling these holes. And they've been such a top-heavy team the last few years. There's teams out there that don't have premier players and are still able to win. You know, teams like the Kansas City Royals, they really didn't have a premier guy in their offense last year, yet they were able to run away with the American League, just mow through the postseason, and make an incredible run without that. Now, the Astros are the exact opposite. that they had the George Springer, they had the Jose Altuve, they had a premier leadoff guy in Dexter Fowler, yet their lineup fell off tremendously after you got past the four hole, and it was very it's very difficult to win games when you have to have all your run production coming through just a couple of players. So right now, I think the big theme of the Astros is how do we fill these holes? How do we fill the bullpen? And when you have an incredible farm system that the Astros have, it's great that they're all, you know, you hope they all come up and are going to be impact players for your team, but they're just as valuable as trade assets to go and get proven veterans to turn the corner a lot quicker than a lot of people think the Astros will turn it. So I think right now the theme, the idea for the Astros is to build depth at every position that gives them at least a chance to be above 500 next year.
Well, one of the names that has been synonymous with the Houston Astros is Craig Biggio. And let's talk about, Andy, now let's transition and talk about the 2015 MLB Hall of Fame class. It is historically very, very impressive. I mentioned Biggio, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, John Smoltz. What were your takeaways when it was announced?
Well, it's good all four of them got in. We've seen in recent years where there's been a lot of guys that have extremely deserving numbers not getting into the Hall of Fame. So I was happy Biggio got in, very deserving. Johnson, Pedro, Smoltz, these guys were all shoe-ins for me. I mean, their careers were incredible on the mound. They all did it in different ways, which kind of makes it fun, this Hall of Fame class, because every one of these players is so different from each other. You know, Pedro, the guy that they said he was too small, he gets drafted, he's 135 pounds, which is hard to believe because that's what I weighed when I was in eighth grade. So he comes to the minor leagues at 135, finds a way to build himself up a little bit, throws 95, becomes a dominant pitcher. Randy Johnson, the guy is nearly 7 foot tall, one of the scariest looking guys on the mound. And then John Smoltz, just an absolute master of pitching. You know, the split finger he threw, the starter, the closer, all the surgeries he had. He still pitched for over 20 seasons. Absolutely incredible. And then, of course, my personal favorite, Biggio. You know, people will argue that he compiled numbers. He got 3,000 hits because he played so long. But there is something to be said about consistency in this game. There's players that are going to get to the Hall of Fame, like a Ken Griffey Jr., who had a really great 8-9 year stretch. But then the second half of their career was definitely not a Hall of Fame career. Then you have guys like Biggio who had a 4-5 year stretch, but they were more consistent through their years and put up steady power numbers, steady numbers hitting 30, 40 doubles a year. So Biggio, during his prime, won the best second baseman of all time. And then after his prime, was still a steady player who hit for power, got on base, was a good athlete, played good second base, played good defense at multiple positions. So I think Biggio really defines what a Hall of Famer should be, is by his grit, his determination, and the fact that he was able to do so many different things and basically change the type of player he was through his career and still be productive.
Our very own Andy Pondillo, our YSR producer, joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And it is time just to take a quick commercial break. We'll be rejoined with our very own Andy Pondillo as we continue to go around the horn. And we'll be talking about where does this MLB Hall of Fame class in 2015, where does it rank all time?